Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Irene Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Minister and Ben. And you're listening to it on the Wind Network. Yes, that's right, Wind Network. Together, we win. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Again, welcome to the Irene Blog Talk Radio Show. Now, you could be anywhere, any place, doing anything, but you decided to come and join us this evening. So I am just so deeply honored to have you here. My name is Minister Annie Bell, the host and creator of Irene Blog Talk Radio Show, which is an outreach of Wealth Management Ministries Incorporated. We are endeavoring to bring talk therapy to survivors of child abuse and sex trafficking and other traumas, as well as providing awareness, prevention, and resources to the community. Now, tonight, we have titled this episode, this broadcast, as Devils in the Pews and Pulpits, Sex Trafficking Out of the Church. So, you know, as a minister, as a person of the cloth in the Christian faith, this is a sad topic for me to actually have to do. But we cannot give clemency. We cannot continue to allow the evil to hide, even if it is in our churches. And so, although it saddens me that we have pastors and ministers and youth leaders out here who are perpetrating against the, not just against the God that they serve, but against our children, against the our parishioners, and trafficking children, and or even abusing them themselves. So, but we have to do what we have to do at the Irene Blog Talk Radio Show. We pride ourselves in bringing the information, bringing the awareness, because we want everybody in every community to be empowered, to recognize the signs, know your rights, and we're going to be talking about some things that is quite shocking. So hold on to your wigs, okay? You know, get some water and get a fan if you need to fan yourself, because it, like I said, we are going to be candid as we can. So without further ado, I want to welcome to the studio Miss Felicia Ingram, who is an advocate and also she is the assistant director of operations for our Prevention Works Joint Task Force and Coalition. Welcome, 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 my friend.
Thank you for having me, Annie. It's a pleasure to be here talking about this. You and I have talked about this for a while, but yes, not a very popular or you know, faint of heart topic, but we it's something that we must talk about and, you know, clue our public into this, what's going on within the church, and provide as much information as possible.
That's right. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, one of the, as we are trying to take our training into schools and into the community, it has been hard to try to even get the training into the churches. So not only are there infractions and perpetrating going on in the church, but then in some of the churches, and I'm not talking about all churches, of course, but in some of the churches, but it, the fact that they won't even allow others to come in. If they don't want to talk about it themselves from the pulpit, why not let someone else come in and train? One of the things that we, you know, I want to talk about first is the church's responsibility to protect the members, not only of the church, especially the church of their own congregation, of course, but they are the church. They are supposed to be the help center, the epicenter of help for the community. But let's first talk about church's responsibility to protect members.
Well, basically, many churches, I'll talk out of experience. Whenever you have members, whether or not you've been longtime members or new members, everyone should go through what you call VIRTUS training. That's the V-I-R-T-U-S training. And what it does is it basically takes you through like a videotape, and it shows you, gives you highlights of what somebody has gone through that has been abused. Gives you information of what to look for. And the person also has to go through a background check. So that's an extra precaution for the congregation. So this is something that every church should want to have as part of their process, because you want to make sure that the environment is safe for the members. So I believe every church should be taking on this responsibility to make sure that as people walk through the doors that there's no fear and everybody feels safe around the person they're sitting next to. So I think this is something that churches should be involved with.
Now, is that VIRTUS training available for, is there a fee? Is it, you know, is it online?
I believe it's online. You probably have to look for more information, but it's basically what develops through the Catholic Church. You know, with everything that has gone on through with priests and all that, this is something that was put together. And I think that all churches should be involved with this. And, you know, that to me, it's like a no-brainer. It's something that churches should have as part of their, you know, somebody joining the church. No one should have fear. And if there is somebody that's reluctant to it, then that should be a red flag that perhaps that person's not, should not be part of the church. So many things going on with so many different people. You want to make sure that the environment is safe for anybody coming through the doors, particularly with children.
That's right.
And I believe with working with children, there's an extra hour that is needed for that, and you know, to be certified in order to be able to work with children as well. No parent needs to worry about you know, anybody watching over their children. So I think this is something that the church should be willing to look into if it's not something that's part of the church currently.
Sure. And, you know, to take it one step further, I would even propose that the churches need to, that's part of their insurance policy, that their staff and their members are trained, are educated, because when or if, excuse me, if, let's say that, I don't want to speak it into the spirit realm, but if a perpetrator comes into the church and a member is either raped or assaulted or, you know, a child is involved, then it actually protects them from lawsuits to be able to say we have gone through an extra layer of measure to ensure that our staff are trained properly and that even our members are educated. And so I would say, you know, it's your responsibility as the church to protect your members, and it's also a good measure to ensure that you don't get a lawsuit. There's a lot of small churches around here who skip some of those more fundamental, foundational bricks because they're small and, you know, they might know everybody or they don't have the funds to do that. But I would say if it, you'll either pay now or pay it later, and paying it later would be so much more expensive if a lawsuit is ensued. So, you know, just another reason why I believe that it is important for churches to do that. But not only that, and, you know, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but we want the church to be a safe haven. It's supposed to be a place where people can run to for help. Back in the day, that churches were for that. They were open not only for prayer, but if somebody went to jail, the pastor would go to the you know, to the police station, vouch for them. If there was something, if there was drug dealers or thieves, I mean, the church, they would gather together and make things work. Even in the New Testament, it talks about how, you know, people brought things, all that they had to the church, and then the church actually divided it up, and there was no lack. So, you know, we have lost our, we have given up. We have given up our power, our empowerment, and our stance in the community and becoming more of trying to preach the prosperity preaching or the sweet word preaching, and really not being the force of good that
the
people.
Exactly.
Which is a sad thing. We have about 3 minutes before we go into our first break, but so let's go ahead and talk about, you know, the prevention measures within the church.
All right. Well, one of them might be, unfortunately, you never know what incidents may occur, but, you know, having proper law enforcement that might be there to kind of walk around the grounds to make sure, you know, people aren't hanging around or there's not, I guess, obvious conflicts going on. That's just an added protection. Kind of hate to say that nowadays, but things are a lot different than they were years ago. Again, with predators and whatnot, and the police law enforcement is especially trained to, you know, to pick out people in this way. Another prevention is giving parent safety guides. Unfortunately, again, you've heard about pastors or the youth ministers abusing children, so there are certain red flags or certain things that the parents can teach their children. You know, talk to their children and let them know that there are no secrets between them. And if anything, if they feel uncomfortable about anything, to be sure to let them know that they're to come to them. Mm-hmm. That the only person that is allowed to, you know, to touch them is maybe the parents themselves. That it's against the law for anybody to ever touch them. You know, if they're with a youth pastor and they say, oh, this is between you and I, you know, there should never be any of that. There should always be open dialogue between the parents and the children, and should never be any secrets. Also, parents need to monitor their children. A lot of times churches have these overnight events, so parents need to be aware of that, you know, have conversations with the youth ministers to find out, you know, who are the people that are going to be going on these overnight events. You know, have a conversation with them. Make sure that if they have a pastor or a young person or youth leader that shows special interest in their child, you know, make sure they look over that and make sure that they keep on top of that, that that person is not left alone with their child. You know, these are just different times, and you don't know what the intentions are of some of these leaders. So just being aware of the surroundings, and just, you know, making their children aware as well.
That's very good. When we come back, I do want to talk briefly about this, the secret, but word the secret. So everybody, please keep your cheeks in the seats. We're going to be back in about 2 minutes. Hold on.
It's not your ordinary radio station, the home of true inspiration. We inspire network. It's not your ordinary radio station, the home of true inspiration. It's not your ordinary radio station, the home of true inspiration. It's not your ordinary radio station, the home of true inspiration.
Have you priced commercials lately? Advertising can truly break your budget. At Win, we eliminate the most common hurdle to advertising. Advertise with Win to reach potential customers locally, nationally, and internationally for as low as $150. Yes, that's right, $150 per commercial. We Inspire Network Radio is a new and rapidly growing online radio network that boasts of dynamic seasoned show hosts who are drawing audiences from across the nation and abroad. Africa, Australia, Scotland, Canada, just to name a few. We also have the technical capabilities to advertise your products and services through sound bites, slideshows, and more. No long-term contracts. You pay per show. Advertise on Win, and you are sure to be a winner. For more information, call us 201-477-0469. Email Annie Bell at wealthmanagement-fs.org.
All right. Thank you so much for staying seated. Tonight we are here with Felicia Ingram, and we are talking about devils in the pews and the pulpit, sex trafficking going on right in our through our churches. Child abuse and gosh, just what have you. So not all churches, and I keep saying that. Of course, we're going to highlight some that do, and some have been found out, and some of them are still going on. So we just wanted to shed some light on that. So if you're just joining us, this is the Irene Blog Talk Radio Show. And it is presented by Wealth Management Ministries here on the WIN Network. Before we got off on the first commercial break, we were talking about, Felicia was talking about, you know, the secrets, that children shouldn't have secrets that they can't share with their parents or caregiver. And I wanted to give you something else that can go in the place of, in the stead of, so that children will not get confused between a secret and a surprise. So, for instance, we can tell the children, hey, you should never have secrets between mom, you and me, mommy and daddy, or you and, you know, the caregiver, but we can always have a surprise. So That way you are delineating from the two, because certainly we have like surprise parties, or, you know, don't tell anybody, but we're going to take, you know, grandma on a vacation or whatever have you. And sometimes we will use the word secret. So when we use the word secret with the children, then when for a good thing, and then a perpetrator comes and uses that same word secret, the kids are unable to delineate from the two, and so they are more apt to keep the secret. Because, hey, I keep secrets from grandma, or I kept the secret from mom. So what we say is, instead of saying secret, we can say don't keep secrets from us, but we can have surprises, like a surprise party or surprise present or whatever have you. So that's, again, we like to, you know, bring solutions and other things that can be used as tools to help with keeping our children safe. So you definitely brought up some good things, Felicia, and I appreciate that. I like what you also said about law enforcement. There was a incident where a child, a little girl, I think she was 13, don't quote me on that, but she went to the bathroom by herself during church service, which at any given time should be fine, you know?
Sure.
I mean, come on. But a man followed her, a predator followed her and raped her in the women's bathroom. And now if there was a presence, a security guard, law enforcement, that type of presence kind of roaming the halls, securing the building, I think that would not have happened. So I really, even though I was ordained in a small, you know, non-denominational church, we are members of a mega church. And so we're used to seeing security guards and law enforcement roaming the halls, making sure that that everything is, being watched over while we are praising the Lord. And I understand that there's, again, the smaller churches, you might not have the funds to do that, but, you know, get the peacekeepers, get some of your male members, parishioners, and let them, you know, give them a black t-shirt with the word peacekeeper on there in white, and let them roam the halls. Get some, you know, really nice built ones that, you know, can just the look gives a person fear. Feel free to do something like that and utilize the human resources that you do have. Otherwise, then you might want to tell your members to please escort your children to the bathroom, just that they're not in a one-on-one situation with anybody else. So, and that also is a segue that even in your daycare, sometimes, I mean, not your daycare, but your Sunday school or children's church, sometimes it's just one teacher. And if it's a small congregation, if people are out, it could leave the teacher with just one student. And we have to eliminate those one-on-one situations where they're in a room behind closed doors and it's just one adult and one child, or even two children. You know, you have a older, maybe a 16, 17-year-old who is teaching maybe a 4 or 5-year-old. Well, that's not a good situation either. So we want to eliminate those one-on-ones just as, you know, an extra prevention measure. For also some of the Sunday school classes, you can put a little window, with a glass partition or something like that, so anybody walking by can look in, and so that they – if there is a potentiality for someone to utilize that isolation, they will not feel so comfortable because there is a window that stays open. So that's another way that you can make sure that there's some preventative measures, especially if you are a smaller church. Larger churches obviously have more manpower. You can put two two adults in there for accountability, make sure there's not just one child and somebody's walking to the bathroom with the children, things of that sort. So very good point. This is a hot button topic now, the next thing that we're going to talk about, and it's the Vatican, Catholic Church. And, you know, and I want to take a minute out, and this is not, of course, study of the Bible or anything like that, but, you know, people want to put together Christianity with Catholicism, and they are really essentially two religions. And I know there's certain things that are the same. We believe in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross and rose again on the third day, and now sits on the right hand of the Father, and everybody who gets to go to eternity must come through him. Yes, but there are some other beliefs that causes a separation, where, you know, it's not considered Christianity. So I want to make sure I also brought, some differences there, and make sure we have a clear line drawn, because a lot of times people get that confused. But anyway, I say all that to say the Vatican has some very lenient ways of prosecuting their priests who perpetrate. So let's talk about that for a moment.
All right. Yes, let's talk about back in September of 2017, they were asking Pope Francis about the priests. Now, Pope Francis believes that, you know, the Vatican is late in talking about the priests and the abuse and everything, but he was not very forceful when it came to punishing the priests. He felt as though the priests should be given mercy. Now, the only problem with that is don't seem like they're considering the victims in this case. There's no words, there's no justice for the victims, for the children who have been raped and have been abused by the priests. I mean, it seems like they're more concerned with mercy for the pedophile priests rather than the children. I can't imagine if you're a child and this has happened to you, and, you know, say this is 10 years later, now you're an adult, and you feel like the priest is just being given a slap on the wrist, and you're the one that's had to suffer for this. I just think if nothing is done to the priest, then it might be even harder for the person to get past it. I'm not sure why this is. I'm not sure if it's a concern for money as to why the priests are never really prosecuted and they continuing to be moved from one parish to another. I don't really understand. There really is no reason given. It's just the priest just feels, or the Pope just feels that the priest deserve mercy, and they don't see any repercussions or reprisals for any of the priests that do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a huge problem for the Catholic Church as to how to remedy this situation.
Yes. We have talked ourselves right into our second break, and when we come back, let's really talk about this this matter, because it really makes no sense to me, but we are going to try to make some sense out of it. So everyone, please just give us a few moments while we take our station identification break.
Hello, everybody. My name is Minister Annie Bell, and I am the host of iRain Blog Talk Radio Show, where we endeavor to bring talk therapy to survivors of child abuse, sex trafficking, and other traumas, as well as being the vehicle by which we use to bring awareness and resources to the community to aid in the prevention of these abuses. iRAIN, which is a declarative acronym for the individual survivor, that means I, I identify myself as a survivor, no longer a victim. R, reclaim my life. E, excel at living. I, illuminate the dark. G, grow in Christ. And N, nurture myself and others. This declarative acronym has developed into a victorious lifestyle brand that empowers and aids in the healing journey of our survivors of abuse, sex trafficking, and other traumas. I have also written a book entitled with a namesake, I Reign, A Survivor's Guide to Thrive, which is now available at Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. Pick up your copy today and join me every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. here on We Inspire Network Radio, where together, through God, we win. If we endure, we shall reign with Him.
Welcome back to I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Minister Annie Bell.
All right, we're about halfway through our show. You have, and if you're just tuning in, you've tuned into the I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show, and I am Minister Annie Bell, powered by the We Inspire Network Radio. Now, for those who this episode might have some triggers for you, I do want to issue a trigger warning for the survivors. If you need someone to speak with, then please feel free to call us at our number, and I'm going to give you that number in just a moment. For those who are listening online, you can look down at the slideshow, and there is a slideshow that will give you all the helplines, but I'm going to give that to you also verbally. Sex trafficking, call Polaris, 1-888-373-7888. Child abuse, if you see someone who or might even look like they might be either abusing or being abused, please call 1-800-4-A-CHILD, which is 422-4453. And then same thing with sexual assault, 1-800-656-4673. Domestic violence, 1-800-787-3224. We're not asking you to be the investigator, the expert. We're just saying if something does not feel right, look right, smell right, just call the experts. Call one of these numbers. Let them go and do the investigation. If they find nothing, then great. But if they find something, then you may have just saved a life. But for those who need to talk, if you're going through a trigger moment or what have you, feel free to give us a call, 201-477-0469. Okay, Miss Felicia, thank you so much for hanging in there while we took our momentary break. And, you know, you were talking about the leniency of the Pope, that the Pope gives to other priests. And some of the things, you know, just to, like I said, to bring some clarity is that, first of all, they believe popes are God incarnate, that they are God, that they are God walking on this earth. So it gives a lot of authority and a lot of power to really man. He has no other power than that which the Holy Spirit may give, and that the Holy Spirit is given out to everyone, but they are holy fathers. They're, you know, the popes are revered as God incarnate. And so then if you look at then his priests that are under him, they see them as potential God incarnate, because you don't know who is going to go, you know, into that pope status. And then so they are exonerated or given clemency because of that man-made role or presumption of who they are or could become. So when we look at it in that aspect, okay, now you can see why they feel that they don't want to punish too harshly. And so, which, it truly compounds the problem because we have so many victims in the Catholic Church. There's also the separation of religion and state. And so they are given room to be the lawmaker, lawgiver, the punisher, they're given all the power, the popes and the priests and all that. So if there's an infraction within the church, they want to take care of it. So that there is that separation of church and state. And so under that, we've had so many pedophiles, rapists, that have been exonerated or given clemency. And I believe you alluded to the article on this in February last year of 2017, and how the Pope gave clemency to a priest, who raped five boys. And he was only told that he had to pray. That was his punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so-called punishment.
I think
redirection.
Yeah, I think when he said, in one particular case, he says, the spokesman had said, the Holy Father understands that many victims and survivors can find any sign of mercy an area difficult, but he knows that the gospel message of mercy is ultimately a source of powerful healing and of grace. I mean, the Pope may say that, but I think, in talking to the victims and survivors, who is there to help them to heal from it? Imagine what they feel. You know, that they've been violated, but nothing happens to the perpetrator who did this.
Exactly. And how can they heal when there is such inequality and injustice? And so, I am 100% opposed of priests being allowed to go free. And they go from, like you said, from one parish to another. Again, another way of being, of redirecting. But really, all you did was give them a place with fresh meat. And you really not solve the problem. If you're going to give them clemency, then maybe you need to build a sanctuary where there's no children. And all pedophile priests go there, and maybe they can recopy the Bible in it via hand.
Mm-hmm.
Let them pray for the world there, but don't put them from one place where there was children that they have raped and take them somewhere else where they have fresh set of people that they can then go and
there's a different set of standards, like from the regular law.
Mm-hmm.
You have a pedophile that rapes a child in the regular world, that person is put away somewhere where they cannot harm a child, whereas in the church it seems as though they just move them on to do the same thing to somebody else. I'm not sure where the healing is for that person if they continue to do the same thing.
Exactly.
A contradiction there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So let's talk about this documentary called Keeper.
The Keepers.
Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen it, okay, I guess this is going to kind of mess it up for you, because we're going to talk about it. Obviously we can't talk about it to the depth and detail as the documentary actually goes into. It's still very, very, very informative about what we're talking about here. So, you know, let's talk about that a little bit, Felicia.
Right. So it's about a nun that was killed back in the 60s. And the story states where a priest, they believe the priest was the one who killed her because she knew exactly what was going on as far as the molestation and abuse within the church. So I think there were two ladies that were involved with this in the investigation who brought this to light. So they feel that this priest was the one who killed her because she knew exactly what was going on and she was going to expose the molestation and abuse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the setting, and it's all is told more from the standpoint of this one young girl who was telling her story about how she was being abused by this priest in a school. This school was a all-girls school, and it was one that was highly rated. People tried really hard to get their children into this school because they had a very good curriculum and high success rates. And so this girl finally gets to go in, but that summer she actually is abused, raped by her uncle. Well, as she is trying to cope with that trauma and didn't know which way to go, she actually went to the principal, or you know, the high priest there, and told him, told her teacher, who was a male, and the teacher went and told the principal, and the teacher, who was also a pedophile, they went to the principal's office together. The principal then began to let her know that, hey, we are going to help you, and we're going to help you, to get out all that sin. And basically what he did was begin to make her feel, in his grooming efforts, to make her feel like she was the one, she's the culprit. It was because she was seductive, and in order to get her cleansed, he had to have sex with her. And it was through his penis that would actually cause some of the cleansing. And when he ejaculated in her, he would say that that was the Holy Spirit cleansing her from the inside out. He even forced her to sodomized her, basically, and made her swallow his ejaculation. And again, this is candid for those who may be listening with your children. You know, maybe you might want to cover their ears, or, you know, explain it to them a little later. But he, of course, was lying and saying that his ejaculation was, she must swallow it so that it could cleanse her inside out. He had for years then, many times would call her out of class so that he can rape her in his office. If that was not bad enough, he started bringing other men to rape her. And we're talking about men who are police officers and other men of the community. So what he was doing was continuing to build fear in her that she couldn't go anywhere else. She couldn't tell anybody because those people were doing the same thing. And that, and then the other side of it was he now had the policeman within his control. And so, but this young girl finally told one of her lady teachers, and I believe other children went and told this female teacher, and she went and she was about to go do something about it. Whereas other teachers knew what was going on, they just was too scared to do anything about it. So it brings us full circle here, talking about how much power, especially back in the day, how much power the Catholic priests had, and why they had so much power, you know. And it's scary when you think about it, because he was trafficking those girls, and he had a huge population of girls to traffic, because he had an entire school. And so not everybody was trafficked, not everybody was raped, but the ones that he believed looked the part of a victim. And when I say looked the part, I mean those who may have been a bit, you know, self-conscious or have low self-esteem, you know, and because pedophiles and predators, they know how to profile their victims. And so this is what the priest did. Now, instead of him getting incarcerated or punished in any way, you know, one of the things that they were able to do was cover it up. But the Pope just, or the diocese, moved him from one place to another, and another school where he had full access to even more girls. So we are going to take this last break, and we're going to come back and talk about the trafficking that is happening through the church, because there is a direct correlation of abuse, child abuse, and sex trafficking. So everyone, please stay tuned. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Sadly, today most of us know at least one person that suffers from addiction or substance abuse. Addiction does not discriminate. No age, gender, race, or classes of people are immune to the horrors of addiction. This epidemic has ruined families, claimed lives, and left loved ones devastated. Over 100 people die from overdoses daily, and over 20 million Americans suffer from some form of addiction. For this reason, author Lloyd H. Bell Jr. has written the book Clean and Serene. The author is an addictions counselor and recovering addict of over 13 years. He knows and has firsthand experience of being caught in the grips of addiction. Clean and Serene provides experience, strength, and hope for the still suffering addict. It can also be used as a tool in recovery. Whether it is used in a group setting or individually, this book was written to assist in the recovery process and encourage. Integrating inspirational, encouraging, and challenging scriptures, the author has provided a resource that is sure to change lives. If you or someone you know is battling with addiction, this book is for you. If you are in recovery, this is a great resource to add to your toolbox. If you are a group leader or addictions counselor, this is an awesome book for group therapy. Clean and Serene, Scriptural Meditations for Recovery, is available nationwide in both ebook and print. Get your copy or a copy for some you know today from Amazon or Barnes & Noble Bookstore. For less than $10, you can potentially change the life of someone currently paying the high cost of living with an addiction.
Welcome back to I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Minister Annie Bell.
Okay, thank you again for staying tuned. We are at the last quarter hour, actually last 10 minutes of our quarter hour. Thank you so much, Felicia Ingram, for being part of our show. She is an advocate for anti-sex trafficking, and also the assistant operations, the director of operations for Prevention Works Task Force, Joint Task Force and Coalition. I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm just stumbling all over that. But oh my gosh, thank you so much for staying put. Our last thing, I want to talk about some of the recent news, because Sometimes people don't believe it. They don't believe that this is happening, you know, right in our church. So we have some current news, and we're going to talk about it. And so you can actually look it up yourselves. So go ahead, Felicia. Let's talk about them.
All right. Well, actually, we have to have a breaking news item today that came on the news tonight about a young girl back in 1998 who was actually sexually assaulted by a pastor. He was a youth pastor at the time at a church in Texas. And I think what happened is as a college student on staff over 20 years ago, he says he regrettably had a sexual incident with a female high school student at church. At his current church, he received a standing ovation at this Memphis church in Memphis, Tennessee. But it all occurred when this young woman, who was 17 years old, went public on a Christian blog. And she said, "I did it." Well, she puts in quotes because this happened 20 years ago. So she says, "I did it because I was scared and I was in shock and I didn't understand what was happening." Her name is Woodson. You'll see it in the news. She notified a different pastor at the church at the time, and he told her to keep it secret. So she said the person that had sexually assaulted her had left the church. So she actually sent this gentleman, his name is Savage, an email last month, and he just now responded yesterday, and he said he apologized. So this new minister where Mr. Savage, and his name is Andy Savage, the new minister, Chris Conley, at the Memphis church, he's, what he did, he said he prayed for Andy Savage and this young lady, Woodson. Now, the problem is that they're making it seem as though she's the one with the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's trying to heal from the incident, but they're not really condemning him at all. They're trying to pray it off as something that's not a big deal. So her take is, because an apology does not change the fact that what happened to me was against the law and it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So this gentleman was never prosecuted for this, and it was essentially, it was rape. He was raped all these years ago, but the church is trying to say that wasn't a big deal, or, you know, I think what they're trying to say is they're trying to say that he's repenting for it. So let's all move along.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have never come to light had she not pursued it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where she's having the problem. And again, here we go with the church. The church is trying to sweep it under the rug like it's nothing. Everybody who was around her, whether or not it was the ministers at the time at the church or this person here, they're saying that, you know, why can't you just let it go? Or they wanted to keep it as a secret.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what made it worse for her, she said on the night of the incident, Andy Savage, got down on his knees and apologized, but told her to keep the incident a secret and take it to her grave. So this was something they actually wanted her to have to live with for the rest of her life. So the thing is, you just wonder how many more of these cases are out there.
Sure.
And I just think the church just needs to handle it differently. You know, you can't have these things happening and there be no punishment, or this is not something that just can be prayed away. People need to be looking at this right straight in the face.
Yeah.
And look at why is this happening? You know,
mm-hmm.
is it, you know, we know that pornography is a huge problem in the church. Let's start looking at what the causes of these things are and start paying attention and handle the situation.
That's right.
Now you have a woman that was assaulted. Now she's got to live with this. Now she's got to live with also that nothing was ever done. It's almost as if it was okay that he did this and there were no repercussions. And she's very upset about this as well. She's not like, you know, she was in tears on this, that, you know, she had to bring this to the forefront. And she's happened to come forward because she's feeling this is part of the Me Too movement. felt he had to say something about it. How many other people? I mean, you don't even know how many other young girls might have been part of this.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Because, you know, when if there's one victim, there's more than likely multiple victims from that one abuser. And I believe a statistic is as high as 100. If a pedophile will have, before they get caught, they will have abused, had 100 incidences of abuse. Wow. Not 100 children, but you know, it could be the same girl that he raped over and over again. And if you look at, and again, the victim blaming, the victim punishing is so through the roof. Even our judicial system does that to some degree, mm-hmm. where, you know, they will say it's the girl's fault for seducing a grown man, and so that's mm-hmm. why you know he is not going to get charged for rape. And if there's also another article from Australia where they were looking into the Catholic clergy, and they had over 4,000 victims in a span of from 1980 to 2015. 4,400 victims. Are you looking at people looking around and saying, why are there so many people killing others, you know, going crazy and you know, mm-hmm. shooting up high schools? Well, hello, we have broken people. We have people who have mm-hmm. suffered through trauma, and no one is looking at that. There is a mental health issue going on there, too. But there are people who are broken. And hurt people will hurt people. And so do you really want to help the economy? Do you really want to have a better place to live? Do you want to, you know, have a place where you're living in a place where there's not so much brokenness? Well, stop child abuse and abolish sex trafficking, and you will see that number go down. Sad to say, though, because poverty is a huge factor in sex trafficking, that mm-hmm. as long as there are impoverished people, there will always be some form of sex trafficking or human trafficking. That's the sad right. news about it. And the Bible does say that with all, you know, there will always be the poor among us. And so it gives a grim idea of what we're looking at. But I believe that if we, through education and training, that we can decrease the number substantially. One is bad enough, but, and I'm not saying, you know, those that we can't help, oh well, but I am saying let's really substantially decrease this number. Felicia, thank you so much for being on the show. And yes, please tell the people how they can get in contact with you to either do another radio show or a blog with them or what have you. How can they get in contact with you?
Oh, F. Ingram.
And you can use our group if you'd like.
Okay, Prevention Works. Yeah, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. Prevention Works, Joint Task Force and Coalition. That'd be a wonderful way for you to join our group to learn more about what we do and how we can help others.
Amen. Thank you so much. Now, listen, everybody. We're not saying, again, that every church is bad, because it's not. All right? Make sure that when you go to these churches that you are vigilant over your children. And looking at those telltale signs that we have talked about, make surprise visits to your Sunday school and all of those things. Just be vigilant, and I pray that God leads you to the right one. I thank you for being part of our program tonight, and I pray that your family will be blessed by it. To make a donation or to get in touch with me or my team, please go to www.mnwealthmngt.org or follow us on Facebook at Prevention Works Joint Task Force and Coalition. Everybody, repeat after me. I reclaim my life, excel at living, illuminate the dark, grow in Christ, and nurture myself and others. Thank you so much, and we will see you next Tuesday. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Hope you guys can join us. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The hurt, the guilt, the stain. I'm more than a cockroach. I'm more than a pigtail. I fight, I win. The chains are broken.
Together.